Okay, John Paul, thanks for the intro. That was very kind of you. Now, if you'll just step aside and let me do my job. I'm only joking. I don't know if you know this or not, but they have torn down totally the library across the street from the radio station. I mean, I blinked, and it's gone now. And so what we have is we have a Chick-fil-A that's coming to town. I find it hard to believe that Chick-fil-A will make it because they're not really that popular. I think somebody sent me a picture that showed 108 cars through the drive-thru of the one that just opened up in Palestine. Anyway, why don't we talk about stuff that's going to make a difference? I'm not a naysayer. I think that I'm very pragmatic. If I had my way, I would try to focus on the truth, and it's fine with me if you question every single thing that I say. If you want to be a curious person and do research and start reading things, you got to find out what the truth is. And the truth is extremely important. Either it's true or it's not. Well, this program is called Health Essentials. And I don't know, I've done this since 96, so that makes it what? 24 years plus. Anyway, to make a long story short, whatever I can do today to help lift you up and encourage you, one of the things that I want you to consider just for a brief moment, it may even be today, you're going to have obstacles in front of you. There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be hardships. You may not be feeling it today. You may be a little bit down. Please, you have got to get up and fight. Do not give up. Set your mind like flint toward the goal. Just because you're opposed by others, who knows, for all I know, maybe people make fun of you because you take vitamins and nutrients to try to feed and nourish your body. Because the truth is, if you don't nourish your body, what chance does it have against an infection, whether it's viral or fungal or bacterial or even cancer? Well, we know the answer to that. We're probably looking at the most malnourished that America has ever been. Now, somebody told me this the other day, and I choose to believe it. They said there's a fast food restaurant right here next to the radio station. I probably shouldn't say their name, but it begins with a large MC. But supposedly, it's the second busiest drive-thru in the world. So when I drive by and I see 32 cars, that's just normal. 32 cars waiting to place their order. I don't know. If there's 32 cars, what do you think that means it takes? I don't know. 10 minutes to get your food. That's pretty efficient, isn't it? But what if the food that you're eating day in and day out from the drive-thru is severely depleted of nutrients? Okay. Well, last night I was doing some research, and of course I went to the most famous website of all called Wikipedia. I'm just joking. But it does have information. And I can't confirm this, so I'm just going to share it with you. Because all we hear these days is you've got to wear a mask, you got to bathe your body in hand sanitizer, which is like a gel-based alcohol delivery system, which is, to me, is a total nightmare. But if you want my opinion, call and ask, and I'll tell you why I think it's a bad move. I'll tell you this. If you don't want to get sick, stay away from the emergency room. Don't go to the hospital if you absolutely do not have to. That is where the most intense breeding ground is going to be. If you want to challenge your immune system and be exposed to as many germs as possible, that's probably a pretty good place to go. There's other places too, but you know, you're probably like I am. You're not going to go to those places where there's like lots and lots and lots of sick people. Anyway, I didn't mention the last one just out of respect for, you know, family members that may have a loved one in a nursing home facility. That's why I said that. But when I was reading Wikipedia, I said, okay, what was the effectiveness of the flu vaccine, which the influenza is a virus. It's not totally unlike the coronavirus. It's an RNA virus. So this should give us pause right here, because you can ask the question, how effective is the flu vaccine? So let me just break it down. I'll go through this really quick. Source is Wikipedia. So U.S. flu vaccine effectiveness by the flu year. Well, in 2004, the vaccine was effective 10% of the time, according to their research. In 2005, it was a whole lot better. It was 21% effective. I'm being sarcastic. In 2014, it was 19% effective. They say in the year 2009, it was 56% effective. In 2007, it was 37% effective. In 2012, 49%. See, I'm trying to be generous. 2018, 29% effective. And so they're telling us now that a vaccine is going to be the golden needle of health sustaining. Number two. The other day I was in a store just briefly with a friend, and I didn't hear it. But my friend had told me, they said, did you hear what the woman, there was just one woman in the store behind the register. And yes, they were all about wearing the mask. That was the mantra. That's what seems to give people the greatest pleasure. You don't know this, but people like power and control, and they feel like that their life has tremendous meaning if they can boss people to wear a mask around. But she had told me that the woman said that her fiancé was shot 6 times, but on the report from the hospital, you know what the cause of death was? He died of COVID-19. Well, there may be something to this, because if there is a financial incentive for a facility to obtain more American dollars, as provided for by Congress, if you can make more money, then I don't know. What do people do? I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but sometimes, when you read the Bible, you come across the idea that money is the root of all evil, or the love or the greed of money is the root of all evil. Well, I was looking at the studies, and so there are a couple of countries that have had almost next to no problem with the coronavirus. I don't know if you know this, but Taiwan is only 81 miles off the coast of mainland China. So they assumed initially that this was going to be the second highest hotbed of coronavirus in 2019 from the COVID-19. Number one, due to its proximity. It's just 81 miles away. And also, the number of flights from mainland China to Taiwan back and forth. I read that the country has 23 million citizens, of which 850,000, they reside in China. And an additional 404,000 of them, they work in China. So they're going back and forth on flights. And so in the year 2019, there were 2.71 million visitors from mainland China. They travel to Taiwan. Well, you know what? They've only had, 58 death rates? 58 people that have died? It's incredible. Okay, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Yes, I have a question about cataracts. A few weeks ago, actually it's been a while, you spoke about if you caught your cataracts early.
Yeah, that's the whole key. You got to get them when they're really, really small. If you wait till they completely cloud the lens, like somebody has put white glue in there, it's too late at that point, obviously.
Okay, that's what, 2 weeks after you talked about that, my husband went to get an eye checkup. They said, yeah, just the tiniest bit of white, almost imperceptible amount of cataracts. So I thought, I heard that, but I didn't.
Let me break it down for you. That way, you're asking a very, very good question, so I have a feeling that your question is going to help a whole lot of people. So, number one, the reason that cataracts form is because the lens of the eye begins to oxidize. And you know what makes it oxidize? The more sugar that you consume, the quicker it oxidizes.
So,
if I built a case today, I'd say sugar is the enemy on almost every level. If you ever see people that live well into old age and they're still highly functional, well, it goes without saying. They're not eating sugar. They're just not. They're eating real food that God has made, and that's what's going to nourish the body. But sugar is the number one substance that's going to cause your lens to oxidize and cause a cataract to form. Now, if I were to tell you what I think number one, you've got to have some degree of suppleness and flexibility of the lens. And so enter a vitamin called vitamin C. Without vitamin C, you cannot maintain suppleness of the lens.
Okay.
So what is a girl to do or a man to do? You might want to supplement with vitamin C.
Okay.
The other thing that I like a whole bunch is called wheat germ oil. You ever heard of wheat germ oil?
I have.
Oh, my word. Just like vitamin C is probably so famous right now because your body can continue to fight infections as long as you have vitamin C in reserve. And so the moment you run out of vitamin C, I'm telling you, everything starts to break down. Your body, your immune system, it cannot counter an infection. Now, personally, I would not be offended if every intensive care or infectious, you know, wing of the hospital, if they gave infusions of vitamin C. I would be totally for that. I mean, if you're sick and you have an infection, you have a serious, serious need for vitamin C. And so wheat germ oil, oh my goodness, that stuff is incredible. I don't know how many women I've had that have told me that this has transformed their life once they started using wheat germ oil. And so let me give you an example. I know this may not be exactly what you want to hear, but if a woman comes to see me and her husband are literally in tears because she has severe brittle tissue in the female reproductive area and it's all dried out, I'm going, okay, let's just try something very, very simple. Let's try a pearl of wheat germ oil. And usually within 2 weeks, they actually think I'm a genius, which I'm just telling them, you know, what to do. But wheat germ oil, it will totally recondition the tissues of the female reproductive area. But when it comes to the eye, I think that wheat germ oil can be extremely valuable. Now, you know, I'm telling you, this is just a piece of the puzzle. I'm not trying to make it into a panacea conversation, but wheat germ oil is so good to protect the eyes from damage. But like anything else, just like you wisely said, if we can get it ahead of the curve on this deal and nourish the body so it can turn around, then that's when you see the tremendous God-given healing potential of the human body.
Right.
And so the product that I mentioned, though, is called Can-C. And if you were to go on a website like Amazon and look it up, you would type in C-A-N, and then maybe a dash, and then the letter C.
Okay.
But there's an amino acid called carnosine. I want to say a Russian doctor came up with this. But when they applied carnosine drops to the eyes, they started to see that the oxidation or the cataracts began to dissolve. And so, listen, I live in reality. I try to be very pragmatic about this. I'm not promising someone that's totally blind from a cataract. At that point, they're going to just have to go to an ophthalmologist and have a surgical procedure to pop out the old lens that's just completely clouded and put a new one in.
Right.
I don't know any other way around that.
Right.
But if you get to it early, that's when you can start to change the game. So the product called Can-C, that is worth a trial.
Okay. That comes in, so like in a...
Yeah, they're eye drops. Yes, ma'am.
The eye drops.
And
okay.
Usually two bottles of the Can-C probably goes for around $40. So it is affordable.
Okay.
Of course, you might say 40 is too much, but when it comes to the eyes, really?
Mm-hmm.
You would probably say, I can do without, you know, frosted mini wheats for 2 months. Actually.
Right.
Yeah. And the other thing that I want you to think about, I need you to understand that the eyes, they use a very incredible amount of energy. You've got all these nerve innervations that are devoted to the to vision. It's a big, big deal. I think that zinc is so critical for eye health.
Okay.
And so just like we hear about the coronavirus and the SARS virus and all these different variations that are wreaking havoc, well, guess what the cornerstone of the immune system is from the mineral kingdom? That would be zinc. Because all your T cells that fight infection and all your memory cells that generate antibodies, they are completely dependent on zinc. And so because of a modern diet, oh my goodness, most people are just low in zinc.
Right.
Could you imagine what would happen to the world if we started taking zinc and vitamin D3 and vitamin C and vitamin A? We would probably have a quick resolution to this problem.
Right. Mm. Their vitamin system would be so strong.
Whatever we have to do to help feed and nourish the immune system, I say we do it.
Yeah, so...
Would you rather do that, or would you rather wait for a vaccine to come out?
Oh, no, definitely do all that. Instead of the vaccine, for sure. Definitely don't want to do the vaccine.
Well, I think there's lots of reasons why we should question that. But does this get you started in the right direction?
Yes, it does. And how much zinc would you recommend? That, just in general,
I don't know if you know this or not, but I was looking at the studies on the coronavirus. I know I keep going back to it, but it's fresh on my mind. When the summertime was in full swing, like in August, that's when we had absolutely the most exposure to sunlight, and people were getting outdoors.
Right.
And so when you expose your body to the natural ultraviolet light from the sun, your body starts manufacturing what's called vitamin D3. You've got to have vitamin D3 for your immune system to stand a chance against a virus or a bacteria. So that's when the coronavirus rates were going down. But
right.
Now that we're in fall and people are staying indoors more, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
Coronavirus is spiking up. But I see so many blood tests where vitamin D3 levels are probably 35 or below. And I'm just telling you right now, that is way, way, way too low. If you're going to have a vibrant immune response to anything, you know, let me say this also. Over the last 31 years that I've done this, I have read so much fear-mongering about the idea of a vitamin D3 toxicity. And you got to be careful. Everybody's going to go, you're going to overdo it. You're going to have calcified arteries. Well, yes, it's true. I have read reports of people taking 4 million units a day or 4 million IUs, and they have calcified arteries. Yeah, that's true. I've never seen that before. But in 31 years, I have not seen one person that's ever overdosed on vitamin D3. And I was reading another study that in Europe, some of the doctors that think outside the box over there, they like your vitamin D3 levels to be around 200 to 300. And I thought, oh my goodness, do they realize how many doctors would freak out? But I almost never see vitamin D3 above 80, even when someone is radically trying to really supplement. But your immune system... Oh, my word. Can it function and do its job better when you have vitamin D3? Yes, absolutely. So your question about zinc, it's a relative conversation, but if your immune system is a bit stressed or if you're eating quite a few grains and carbohydrates, you're going to need more zinc.
Okay.
And so what I've been hitting for the last month, probably myself, is about 60 milligrams a day. That's just what I'm taking.
Okay.
But I only take zinc with food. That's the one element that if you take it on an empty stomach, you may call me in the morning and say, how dare you mess me up? I was nauseated for 1 hour. It's a pretty strong mineral.
Right. Yeah, it is.
And so the only way that you're going to have an active immune system that does its job properly is with zinc.
Okay.
See, if I had lived in Tombstone, Arizona, I would have told Doc Holliday, let's get you some zinc, buddy. But that was just a little bit before my time.
Right.
I think he had tuberculosis.
Hmm.
And so, what else you want to talk about?
The only thing I was possibly going to ask about, this was the first thing about the eyes, was also what do you recommend? Because I'm 52, and I've already gone through menopause, and what do you recommend for, like, I don't have, like, all the typical symptoms, but just to be healthier, balanced hormones, just knowing even though I don't feel a whole lot of different things, that it's still out of balance.
The simplest thing that I could tell you is eat real food that God has made.
Okay.
I know that may not make logical sense, but if you look at some collard greens or turnip greens or... You say, oh my goodness, I think I'd like to have something sweet. I think I'll eat some cherries, a bowl full of cherries, or I'll eat a pomegranate for dessert, or, you know, a mango. I still remember the. And can I tell you just a quick story? Years ago, I took the children to a water park in Garland, Texas. I can't remember the name of it now. That's horrible, but it was a small kind of family-owned business, but it was a little bit quieter. But I remember that one day, my daughter Jane, she had this intense craving for mangoes. And so if a kid wants a mango, I will peel it, cut it, slice it up, whatever I gotta do. I want to say it was unbelievable. She had this voracious appetite. And I think she ate like about six mangoes that morning on the way to that water park. But anyway, never used a drop of sunscreen, never put anything on her skin to protect her from skin damage. And I'm telling you, I learned a lesson that day. But all those flavonoids in the beta carotene, they provide superior protection against the sunlight. And so sometimes the difference between a person burning severely and wrecking their skin is going to be on their nutrient intake. And so the skin is incredible. It will drink up almost anything that you put on top of it. That's why I'm such a huge fan of extra virgin olive oil. If you pour a little bit of olive oil in your hand to rub on your, you know, legs or feet or arms, you'll notice it has almost kind of a greenish, yellowish cast to it or color. Well, guess what that is? That's chlorophyll. Chlorophyll is one of the most valuable elements that's in nature. It's like liquid gold for the body. And I've had so many people that have had neuropathies and other problems with severe pain. Olive oil is a game changer, because what you're doing is you're nourishing the skin. Let the skin drink it up and get the benefit from it.
Okay. Wow. Never heard that.
Well, you got something to think about now, right?
That's right. That's right.
And so if you like to eat things that are dark green, that are bright orange, that are red, oh my word, those are so good for you.
They have the most.
Yes. I don't know if you've ever read this before, but and it's been a while since I've read it, but I want to say it's in the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament. But what it does is it describes very precisely what the garments of the high priest look like. Do you remember what it says they embroidered into the robes before they would enter the Holy of Holies? It was a pomegranate.
Oh, yes, on the that's right.
And so that's got to have meaning. And, you know, I read, you know, when Solomon had the, he built a temple for the Lord in Jerusalem. He hired goldsmiths to make 200 golden pomegranates to hang by golden chains in the temple. That's got to have meaning to it, right?
Right, yes.
I still remember when I was a little boy, we would go visit my Aunt Lola and Aunt Vernie. Now, there is a good girl name. If you're thinking about a name for a granddaughter, Vernie would probably work, right? But when we go to their house, they had this huge pomegranate tree that I like to climb in. Oh, my word, could that thing produce pomegranates? There's no telling how old that was. I'm going to guess 50 years old. But that was always fun, because I would go pick and eat the pomegranates. Just crack those suckers open and start eating the seeds.
Right.
One study that comes to my mind, they did this on men. There wasn't a woman in the study, but the men that had suffered a not a fatal heart attack, but a heart attack. And they said, we're just going to give them a couple ounces of pomegranate juice and see what happens. Well, the ones that had pomegranate juice, they recovered 40% faster. And I want to say they were released between 47 and 48% sooner than those that did not have the pomegranate juice. So if you want the body to heal, you give it the very thing it needs.
Wow. That's pretty powerful.
It is. And God made all these things for us. It's just a matter of getting back to the natural things that can heal the body.
Right. Okay, so a lot of brightly colored, just the real food, like you said, the natural.
Oh, my, oh yes, ma'am.
Yeah, raw. Okay. Well, thank you so much. That's all very extremely helpful.
Well, you're sure welcome. Thank you so much for your question. I think you helped a lot of people, so I appreciate you for doing that.
Well, thank you so much for your insights. I appreciate it very much.
Oh, you're so welcome. I enjoyed every bit of it. Have a good day, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Thank you, too. Bye-bye.
All right, if you want to join me on the radio, there is a phone line officially open. It's 903-586-5257. Let's go to the phone lines. All right, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Oh, thanks for your call.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Morgan. I have a grandson that is having difficulty with acne, and evidently it is, he's in North Carolina, so I don't actually see him, but I understand it is very bad. Can you give me some help?
How old is he?
15. No, I'm sorry, 16.
Oh, well, I don't know if that's a huge difference. It could be like 1 month older or younger.
I wanted to be correct in case he happens to hear this.
Yeah, well, you know what? That's going to work out great. North Carolina. I have a son right now that's in South Carolina. And he sent me a picture yesterday, a text picture, mm-hmm. of him holding a surfboard on the beach. And I thought, oh, my goodness, the guy looks like a professional surfer.
Is he in Charleston?
He is. How did you know that?
Because that's where my husband and I met.
Oh, isn't that great? So you have great memories, don't you?
Yes.
Wait a second. I'm going to take advantage of you. Where exactly in Charleston did you meet?
On Calhoun Street at the medical college.
Wow. What was the first thing that happened? Did he speak to you first, or did you speak to him?
No, I actually saw him in the, it was our first year I was in pharmacy school and he was in medical school, and I saw him in a laundromat. And I had already decided that the person that I wanted to marry was going to be industrious and smart. And I just happened to see these two guys over in the corner studying while they waited for their laundry.
Oh.
And I didn't know him or anything. But 2 days later, I saw him in BTU, and he was giving his part by memory and not reading it like so many did.
Wow.
And I thought, I think I'll take note of this, and that's actually where I met him. But I wouldn't date him because the pharmacy students didn't like the medical students because a lot of them wanted to go to medical school, and they didn't get in. And so
just a little bias there.
Just a little bit.
Oh, boy. So you weren't attracted to the man that was out back digging through the dumpster with the raccoons for food?
I didn't see him.
Okay. He was on the back side of the building where they keep the dumpsters.
Right.
What's a great story. Thank you very much. Okay, let's tackle the acne in the 16-year-old, okay?
Yes.
All right, let me try to make it sound very, very simplistic now. Most likely the 16-year-old boy has got like a super-duper high level of hormones raging through his body right now, okay?
Yes.
Okay, so this is not me being overly critical, but diet has everything to do with acne, and so I'm going to hit the first one out of the starting block first. Out of all the young men that I've seen that have had horrible acne, these are probably the three top things that I find that accentuates or aggravates it, makes it worse, any way you want to say it. I'm going to say dairy products number one.
Okay.
So if they're used to drinking like a glass or two or three of milk, I actually should say, are they used to drinking a half a gallon of milk a day?
Mm-hmm.
Then we might want to look at that. And if that happens to be, you know, a glass of milk, or if it happens to be milk on cereal, or if it happens to be ice cream, all that's basically the same thing.
Sure.
And so the more dairy that's consumed, that's probably going to accentuate or worsen the acne every single time.
Okay.
Number next, I probably find that chocolate and sugar do more to flare that up. One of the studies that I'm thinking of, during World War II, you may have heard of this, that rations for chocolate and candy and chewing gum and cigarettes and alcohol, it was really, really hard to come by the average American citizen, because what they would do is they had to send these comfort foods overseas, so the men that were fighting, they had something that they could kind of recalibrate and relax with. So you get the gist of it, don't you?
Right.
I would venture a guess that dermatologists probably nearly went out of business if their specialty was treating acne in 1944 because there was no chocolate available. And the studies demonstrate that. It's been years since I've studied that metric, but to me that's very, very intriguing that, oh my goodness, you mean acne completely, just about totally went away by and large? Yeah, it did. And so I remember years ago, and I'm going to tell you a failure that I had. I had this young lady that came to see me, and she was extremely beautiful. She had two young boys. She was a great mom. She was adored by her husband. But she had this horrible cystic acne all over her face. And so where I think I failed was, I think I didn't really emphasize the reason to give up dairy and chocolate. And so we tried for 3 weeks, and what I did was I tried using nutrition to see if I could help turn the tide. Well, in 3 weeks, it was a complete failure. Her face was no better, no more so clear and free of acne than what it was 3 weeks prior. So I finally said, okay, we're going to have to do this. You've got to completely avoid dairy and chocolate. And I'm telling you, within probably 3 weeks, her skin was just drop-dead gorgeous, beautiful, clear, clean, smooth. It just was, it was night and day. But that taught me a lesson, though. And so now when I see a bad case of acne, I think I'm a little bit more strongly affirming of exactly what they have to do, and I try to be a little bit more non-negotiable. Because the truth is, there's just things you're going to have to give up if you have acne. So we're driving too many sex hormones that are generating the acne. So the other thing that I see day in and day out is a zinc deficiency. Oh my goodness. Now if this was a girl that had this, I know it's a boy, I'd probably say her acne is more like a reflective of being anemic. If a woman is anemic, she's going to have more acne. With a boy, probably zinc. And so if I ask this 16-year-old what his favorite food is, he's probably going to say hamburgers, french fries, milkshakes, and pizza. You think that could be true?
He works at Bojangles.
Say no more. Wait, did you say that because he might have access to that food?
No, I think he eats chicken, and of course it's the fried chicken.
Yeah, it's all those omega-6 vegetable oils that create inflammation. And so, I mean, even if we just took a step back, if he were to eat basically meat and vegetables without hormones in them, I think out of all the animals that are sold, I think pork is number one and chicken is probably number two at being packed with hormones. And so, I know I'm being difficult here, but if he could eat fish from the ocean. He lives in North Carolina. He's close to the ocean.
Good.
How close to the ocean does he live?
He's in Winston-Salem. He's in the middle of the state.
Is that the capital?
No, Raleigh's the capital.
Okay. Is that where you went to school?
No, I went to school in Charleston.
Oh, that's right. You just told me that. Did your family judge you because you went to the South?
Oh, no. I grew up in Asheville, North Carolina.
Oh, that's kind of in the mountains, isn't it?
It is.
It's beautiful, right?
Yes.
Are they experiencing fall right now?
Yes.
Has anybody sent you a picture of the trees changing colors?
Oh, no. No.
But you would accept them, wouldn't you?
They don't want to make me too homesick.
And so the other thing is, his skin is completely covered by what's called an acid mantle layer. And I would say almost all the soaps and the detergents that are used to scrub the skin clean are just disastrous because what they do is they strip it off. And so they may momentarily cause just a slight change, but it's going to end up in failure. What he needs is he needs something. He might even try taking a washcloth, a little bit of apple cider vinegar, and just wiping his face down with that.
Okay.
Because that does preserve what's called the acid mantle layer. And just like I told the young lady on the phone earlier, if you start applying extra virgin olive oil, all he can do is try it and see if that makes it better or not.
Okay.
Now, I'm a huge fan of what's called lemon water. If you take a fresh lemon, not one that's dead, but a fresh lemon that has living life force and enzymes that are doing their job, if you could squeeze that in a glass of water and he could drink that, that would gently start the cleansing process. Also, dandelion tea can work like a gold mine. Drinking dandelion. I realize he's 16. He works at Bojangles. That's like a fast food restaurant, isn't it?
Oh, yes, yes.
Is chicken the main thing they have on the menu?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
That's what you're known for.
Well, what are they essentially like? Is this like Kentucky Fried Chicken or Church's or something?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It's just called Bojangles in the North Carolina. Gotcha.
Right,
okay.
Right.
And so you got to drink water to have healthy skin. I mean, I can't overstate this enough. All the membranes in the body that resist chronic bacterial infections, and that's what acne is. His sebum-producing glands are thick with waxy, gunky sugar, and it's causing, that's what his acne is. It's a low-grade infection of the sebum-producing glands. And so without water, they start to become clogged up. I couldn't even start to be, I need to just really emphasize, the more water that he can drink, within reason, but if he gets optimal, so if he weighs exactly 180 pounds and he needs a minimum of 90 ounces of water a day, he could even make his own drink that probably tastes good. If he wants to put a splash of Concord grape juice in it to give it flavor and squeeze a lime or a lemon, now we're talking. Now we're getting nutrients into the body that's going to help be a game changer. But most likely, he's very, very low in zinc, maybe even B vitamins. And so one thing that you can tell him to do that might be a game changer for him is if he could start taking what are called probiotics. Now, I'm a fan of what are called prebiotics. So if I open a jar from the refrigerator and it has what's called Bubby sauerkraut, I'm going to take 1 to 2 forkfuls and just kind of like shovel it in my mouth. I think I told a friend the other day, I said, I haven't had breakfast yet. And I said, wait a second, I think I lied to you. I had like 2 forkfuls of Bubby sauerkraut. But what is that, like 5 calories tops? But it's a prebiotic. It encourages great bacteria to start growing. And with this young man, his terrain needs to be improved upon. It means he probably doesn't have enough good beneficial microbes, and he has too many toxic germs that are causing all the inflammation of these sebum-producing glands, and that's resulting in acne.
Sounds good.
Meat and vegetables and a little bit of fruit is going to be a home run for him.
I will put this on his mom.
Okay. She's gonna be the enforcer, right?
Yes, and she will.
Well,
and
thanks for your phone call. I enjoyed every bit of it.
Thank you, sir, and you have a blessed weekend.
Oh, you too. Thanks a bunch. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. If you would like to join me on the radio, there is a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. Maybe you didn't get all your sleep last night and you're just laying in bed listening to my program. It's okay. You can dial the number 903-586-5257. I'm sure I'd love to hear your voice right now. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Oh, Dr. Morgan, it's been so long since I've been able to get on the phone.
Oh, my word. You made it through. You get the prize. Ding, ding, ding.
Yes.
Well, great. Now that you got me, how can I help you?
Oh, my goodness. This has been the most stressful year, I must tell you.
Oh, me. What has been the most stressful aspect of it to you?
Well, I guess seeing violence. Or hearing about the violence around the country has been very stressful, but
oh yes, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, just having to spend a lot more time in prayer. But number one, we had a house built over the winter, which was wonderful to see that to fruition. I turned 68 2 weeks ago.
Oh, happy birthday to you!
Well, thank you, and happy birthday to you and yours for us too.
Yeah, mine's coming up.
We're just, you know, things are just getting better. But also, in the middle, after we've been spending 6 months picking up and cleaning up everything, you know, cigarettes and water bottles to body armor cans and everything and copper wire and sweeping and sheetrock dust. I mean, our house is finished, but I mean, we didn't build it ourselves, but... And really, the guys are really pretty good about throwing their cigarette butts in the little buckets I put around everywhere.
Well, that was smart.
Yeah. Oh, they were really good. Anyway, I had to have the carpal tunnel surgery on my left hand and the cervical tendinitis on my thumb repaired. I had to have that in May.
Did that fix it?
Yes, but now I'm having a trigger thumb on my left thumb and a trigger finger on my middle finger.
Well, we better do something with that, like right now.
Well, the thing is, four weeks later, I had to have the carpal tunnel surgery on my right hand. He said, "You want it ready for your right hand?" I said, "I don't think I'm ready for my left hand to take care of my right hand yet. And so it was 2 more weeks, and I had that surgery with for carpal tunnel and trigger finger on my right trigger thumb. I tell you, and I don't like being put out. You know, I don't like having to undergo anesthesia.
I understand. I don't want you to either. I think it leaves a mark on the brain.
Yeah, I think I was out maybe, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, because it was fast. I mean, that doctor is so good. He's been my...
Well, that's better than 2 hours.
Oh, gosh, yes. He called my husband and said, well, it was, they were, you know, really tight, really, really tight. And I mean, I had been using 4 different types of ointments and...
Well, can I suggest something to you?
Yes.
If your body is deficient in an element called iodine, you are the most prone to developing a trigger finger.
Oh, that's right.
If you want to call it a Dupuytren's contracture, so let me say it a different way. When your body is under stress, it will literally start stealing iodine from what are called thyroid hormones, T3 and T4. And so if I look at studies, it's very easy for me to see that people that have health conditions that aren't resolved, they have the most hypothyroidism. They have the most thyroid problems.
And I did have that, low thyroid.
Well, and so all I'm suggesting to you is we've got to find a way to figure out what's stressing your body. My first guess would be that you have some type of chronic low-grade infection somewhere in your body. You just don't know where it is. Because study after study shows that when somebody has low-grade viral antibodies like Epstein-Barr, they tend to have the thyroid problems because this chronic infection is stealing all the iodine, and you've got to replenish it. But one of the side effects of low iodine in the human body is you start developing these contractures on the tendons, or whether you call them a Dupuytren's contracture or a trigger finger, it's kind of the same deal. But from my experience, you've got to get to the core of it, and if you don't address that, you might have another one down the road, which might require another 15 to 20 minutes under.
I don't want that.
No, and I don't want that either. That's the whole reason I'm bringing it up.
And my husband's having the contractures in his fingers, too. And he's had one on the right hand done. He's had one on the left hand done. And I'm getting tired of going back to the hospital. I mean, they're great. They're
Could I suggest that you look into iodine?
Definitely. I'd forgotten you had said that.
That's
now,
okay.
What form do you take it in? Do you just eat more fish or what?
Well, have you ever heard of the island of Okinawa, Japan?
Oh, yes.
Well, they have just about the greatest longevity of any up-to-speed place on the planet.
Seaweed, kelp and seaweed.
Now you're talking. You've got it figured out. Good. So what if you went to the store and in the refrigerated section they had what's called seaweed salad for sale? It's almost like a pickled salad. Would you get some of that?
Seaweed salad.
It's delicious. Oh, my goodness.
Where did you get that?
Well, I got some at Costco the other day. It's fabulous.
Where do you go to Costco?
There's one in Rockwall.
Oh, my goodness. I never get up there.
Well,
We're still working our business, and we're all constantly using our hands.
My
husband's constantly using his hands, yeah.
Well, yeah, but when the body becomes deficient in iodine, you're going to have contractures for them. And so constantly using your hands, which means if anybody needs to be in great working order, it's you and your husband. You want to keep going. So,
yes.
So yeah, you said it right. So you can start taking kelp. Kelp is actually one of the greatest superfood supplements of all time. Now, I know I'm kind of going on a sidetrack, sort of. But not that long ago, I kind of had this fascination reading about tuberculosis, maybe because Doc Holliday had tuberculosis. And they were showing that when they would take and put a certain type of fertilizer on the farmland, those people didn't get tuberculosis that lived on those farms. And I said, this is interesting. You know what the fertilizer was? It was kelp. That's all they would do is they would harvest kelp from the ocean, and they would grind it up, and they would sprinkle it on the farmland. The ocean has all the minerals and nutrients on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you eat seafood, whether it's wild-caught salmon or sardines or, you know, halibut, something like that, or seaweed or kelp, you are infusing your body with all the nutrients that each cell requires for optimal function. So when you lack a nutrient, guess what happens? something's going to be in disrepair, mm-hmm. and something's not going to heal.
Okay. Now, what uses up the, does working with your muscles and your hands or stress just uses up the kelp and just makes it disappear in you really fast?
Well, my gut instinct says you've probably got a low-grade viral infection.
Low-grade viral infection. Mm,
that's what I see. Well, and okay. if I were to ask you a question, if I said the number 10 represents tremendous amount of energy, you feel like a million bucks. Zero on that scale would be total exhaustion. I don't even feel like getting out of bed. Where is your energy level right now?
Well, right now I'm about a, I don't know, 6 or 7, I feel like.
Well, that's not bad.
Early in the morning.
But see, what I am, I'm kind of like a little bit of a nerd reading these studies, but if I read all the studies that I read correctly, then you've got a viral load on your body. And so iodine mm-hmm. is one of the most important mechanisms by which your body frees itself from a chronic viral load. Mm-hmm. I didn't say that you couldn't function, but there's so many viral infections like the cytomegalovirus or different versions of Epstein-Barr and mm-hmm. other herpes viruses. They are the real deal, but if they hang around your body, you're asking for it. But
mm-hmm. I used to make capsules with oregano oil and put it in capsules and take that every morning, but we haven't done that in a while, so maybe would that help too?
Well, what I want to do is I really want to hit the iodine.
Okay.
I mean, you can take oil of oregano. It's most people, they overdo it and they start burning holes in their intestines or their mouth or wherever the oregano.
Oh no.
I saw a guy. Well, yeah, did you burn a hole in something?
I just took it raw.
Don't do that.
I
saw a guy not that long ago. He put a drop on his forehead for a little space. A place that came up. I said, "Dude, it looks like a crater on the surface of the moon." Now he said, "Yeah."
Oh,
and I saw a guy one time put a drop of oregano oil on his gums for a tooth infection. Well, I think he did like about 30,000 times more damage. I just made that number up because it just dissolved the gums. It's too strong. Too strong.
Yeah. Well, it is. Well,
I think if you're going to take oregano, it needs to be like an enterically coated capsule that's been pre-prepared by a company that knows what they're doing.
Okay. Well, now I know that why I picked up this Brown Seaweed Plus bottle at the granary that was on the discounted shelf about a month ago. Something in the back of my mind probably said, I think that's good to take, but what is it good for? Because I forgot.
Well, it's where all the nutrients are.
So when
in the farmland in Scotland and Ireland and Great Britain, when they use seaweed to fertilize the ground,
mm-hmm.
no tuberculosis.
Wow.
Where they didn't use it, they had. So you got to remember, the terrain is everything. Terrain is everything. The stronger your tissues are, the better they're able to resist.
Yeah.
Now, they've done so many experiments with animals. When animals are fed what they need to be radiant, they do not get sick. But when you start giving animals processed food, guess what? They develop one parasite infection after the other.
Mm-hmm.
They get heartworms. They get intestinal worms, liver flukes, all this junk. So my goal is, let's find a way to strengthen you where your body can actually heal and repair itself. But iodine is one of the things that I have to think of when you've got a trigger finger.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm going to start taking this kelp. I had it in my pantry a month, and I thought, man, what am I supposed to take that for? When should I take it? Should I just start taking it? Well, now I'm going to start taking it.
Yeah,
but
and
just from my
experience, mm-hmm. when I give iodine or recommend iodine to somebody and I explain what it's for and they agree to it, I notice that all their infections go way down. They just don't get sick. Or if they do have something, their body's able to very robustly deal with it real quick.
But we don't live near the ocean here, so I can see that, you know.
You say you do live near the ocean?
No, we don't. Texas. I'm in Chandler. What about sardines? Do they have iodine in them?
They have some, yeah. You know what sardines do have? They have a rare element that you only really find in them. It's called RNA, ribonucleic acid.
Uh-huh.
And when you infuse the body with ribonucleic acid, guess what the body does? It starts to heal and repair. It's a repair mm-hmm. molecule. So
alrighty.
You would do well to eat sardines a couple times a week.
Okay, we'll start doing that. My husband likes sardines. I've never had them in my life until he made me try them. And
You know what you could do? Get some seaweed salad, put on the plate, put some Bubby sauerkraut, mm-hmm. throw some sardines on the plate. That would be the breakfast of champions right there.
Well, can I grow seaweed salad at my home if I have a little, like a missile silo cover with a fountain in it that runs all the time?
Of course you can. You can do whatever you want. Or you can even go to the store and you can get these seaweed sheets, the nori sheets. Uh-huh. Sometimes they're called seaweed snacks. I know they smell kind of fishy, but I dig them. Not everybody does.
My cats might fight me over them.
Your cats will fight you over them. They'll probably trade you a fresh rat for the...
No way. Well, let me ask you something. When I was about 6 years old, I remember maybe five in kindergarten, because I wasn't old enough to go to first grade, because I wasn't going to turn six before September 1st.
That's right.
Went to a separate kindergarten.
That means you just had a birthday. That means you just had a birthday.
Yeah, I had a birthday in October, but anyway, it was in the Army barracks that they had set up near Letourneau, and I remember that big old building. But anyway, there was a little classmate of mine, and she had warts on her hands. Well, the next thing I know, I had a wart on my palm, and I was, oh my gosh, on my right hand. I was so embarrassed of that, and it wouldn't go away. And my mother and dad took me to the doctor, and he used an electric needle to burn it off, and it went away.
That's a viral infection.
I know, and I have these little teeny tiny ones here and there on my hands, and it seems
you're making my job super easy, woman. You have chronic viral infections. That's a load on your body. I don't have the book in front of me that I was looking at the other day, but mm-hmm. they were showing when people have dementia and when they have Alzheimer's. When they test them for viral loads, they have the highest on the planet. All I'm suggesting is viruses generate continual ongoing inflammation. And that is no bueno. You know what that means? No good in Espanol. And so what you got to do is you just got to come to terms with this. You got chronic viral loads. It's depleting your body of iodine. The more depleted you are of iodine, your body's just going to be sucking it from your thyroid, which means you're going to have a lower body temperature. So if you measure your temperature right now, it's probably like 97.2 degrees.
It usually is.
That is not the normal operating temperature for the body.
Well,
that is far from optimal.
I take Nature-Throid, the real...
Now, I'm not trying to be overly blunt with you, but that's not addressing your problem. Your temperature's 97.2.
Mm-hmm.
If you want things to go very poorly, keep it at 97.2.
I don't want to.
No, I know you don't. I can hear it in your voice, and I appreciate that very much. But we have to find out. So if you have these little bitty warts that are growing on your body, we kind of need those to go away. And that's what happens when you give the immune system what it needs. All of a sudden, it can do its job properly, and it can scrub your body clean of viruses, which is what I recommend.
Should I have a fast and just drink dandelion root tea?
That's not a bad idea, because what happens, there's a term called autophagy. The moment you stop eating food, your body says, oh my goodness, they're not going to give us anything, or she's not going to feed us anything. What can we do to scavenge? But it'll start eating everything that doesn't belong, like deranged proteins and viruses and bacteria. Mm-hmm. I have had patient after patient with chronic infections, sometimes fast for 3 days, and that has done more to get their body to heal them from an infection than maybe anything else.
Wow.
So fasting, it has a great place. I agree.
Well, what can I drink while I... Just dandelion tea and...
Dandelion tea is hard to beat. You know what the master mm-hmm. cleanse is, where you take a little bit of maple syrup, cayenne pepper, and lemon juice and water?
I've got them all.
That definitely works. Lemon water works.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a huge fan of salt. I am not scared and terrified of salt like maybe other people are terrified of salt.
I've got the pink salt.
You've got to have those minerals. The body is all about generating electricity, and without adequate water in the cells, then you can't generate the electricity. But you've got to have minerals. They're called electrolytes. All your fortunes are going to rise and fall based on your water levels and the salt levels. electrolytes, they are not talked about enough.
No.
So you've at least got something that you can go with here.
Well, do you think that drinking Body Armor is not good? I mean, I don't drink it straight. I usually cut it with water.
Yeah, I don't like it at all.
You don't like it? It's got minerals and...
Well, but I don't like it. Here's what I do like.
Mm-hmm.
If you took like a jar or pitcher of water and you squeezed two lemons into it, that's got vital life force. If you took a pinch of salt and add to it, it could be a half a teaspoon. Stir mm-hmm. in there really well. If you want it to taste good, then take some frozen organic Concord grape juice and put four or five scoops in there. Stir it up. You'll make like a weak Gatorade. Now that's there. Now we're in business. You want to put a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar to it also? Fine by me.
Okay, I've got the organic vinegar. Please.
There you go. And so,
oh, I'm vinegar. I love vinegar.
Well, and these are things that actually help give the body what it needs. It will sing to your cells. Your cells will be very happy.
Okay. Well, we had some kind of a viral infection back in February. My husband had it first, and he had an installation for some pictures or drapery rod or something 3 days before he came down with it, and then 3 days after that I got it. But I just felt really, really, really tired, and I made a big pot of chicken soup with vegetables in it and some Swiss chard. We've got Swiss chard and beets and arugula.
Oh yeah, that's great.
Lettuce growing in two feed troughs on sawhorses, so the gophers can't get them.
Two feed troughs.
Kind of hard for them to reach out and get them. And
they'll probably build a ladder.
Pardon me?
They'll probably build a ladder. I'm joking.
Well, they haven't yet.
Well,
if
don't,
my cats
don't
will
leave.
Get them if they do.
No, that's good.
But,
way to go.
But three. When I started feeling really, really tired, then you know you're coming down with something. So I started hitting the extra vitamin C and the Silver Shield and things like that.
Well,
and
did those things help turn it around for you?
They did. They
good.
Did help get it. I think half it off the path. I did get sick, but from 7 o'clock the next morning when I no, let's see, it was noon the next day when I came down with 101 fever. I thought, oh goody, my body recognizes it. Mm-hmm. Then to 7 o'clock the following morning, so I had fever for about 19 hours.
And I bet that's a big time fever for you, 101. If your normal temperature is 97,
man,
that's like a big, big, big fever.
It is. It is. And then I would get up and go outside and get in the sun, blah, blah, blah.
That's good.
After that, it was over. I mean, I was tired. I was extremely tired.
Well, I mean, who hasn't been exposed to the coronavirus yet?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't
I'm
know.
Thinking maybe it was corona. I don't know.
Well, I read a study showing they have when the SARS virus was going around in 2003, they found one person that they know that had come across 10,000 people. One person. So could you imagine if there were 10 people in Tyler, they would pretty much expose everybody in Tyler to the coronavirus.
So you're saying that it could have been. I mean, almost everybody.
Absolutely could have been. And you know what?
Yeah.
You're going to have to, every one of us is going to have some exposure to the coronavirus. Now, ideally, you'll do closer to what I'm saying, which is to nourish your body in such a way where it can do its job properly.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to have to start generating antibodies. And the only way that you're going to make antibodies is if you have zinc. All I can say is good luck making antibodies and overcoming it without zinc.
We take zinc every day. We take zinc, we take fish oil, we take ester C, a multiple vitamin.
Well, I really do thank you so much for your phone call. And you may not realize this, but I appreciate every point you brought up, and I think it probably helped a lot of people. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you for reminding me about the iodine, and I will take that seaweed
good.
Now.
Thank you
very much
for your call. Have a good weekend, ma'am.
God bless you.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.